Good morning. I want to welcome you to our digital service this morning. I pray that you are all well, healthy, that you are walking in close fellowship with the Lord. Just a practical note, participated in a conference call with Governor Polis earlier this week and received an email summary of that call and his recommendations, and it looks like the restriction of any groups larger than 10 or more is going to continue in effect through the month of May. So it looks like we will be following the same protocol through the month of May, and we'll have to see what happens and how that works. I would welcome your thoughts and responses about how these services are going for you. Are you able to view them acceptably? Is it ministering to you? Are you growing in the Lord? If there's some way that we can be praying for you, please let us know. Dan and I are praying for you on a regular basis, and I'm sure others are as well. So we want to try to minister as effectively as we can while still maintaining physical distance. I don't want to say maintaining social distance because I don't want to socially distance from you. I want us to be socially as connected as we can while still having to maintain physical distance. So that's where we are, and that's the plan. If anything changes from that, I will try to let you know as soon as possible. Most of you are receiving the emails that I'm sending out practically daily, sending in devotions that I'm posting on Facebook, getting a lot of very positive comments from Facebook readers on those devotions. So if those have been a blessing to you, I would love to hear from you about that. So we're trying to make the best of the situation as well as we can with the technology that we have available, and we would again, welcome your suggestions, welcome your comments, welcome your feedback, anything that we could be doing more effectively. And especially if you have any prayer requests, I send out prayer emails, I send out the Wednesday evening prayer list, and want to just keep you as informed, keep you up to date, keep you in touch, keep you socially close as much as we can, even though maintaining physical distance. So that's our goal, and we welcome your feedback. Let us know how we're doing. So with that introduction, let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you on this Sunday morning. We thank you, Father, for the technology that is available for us to be able to meet at least in this way. We pray, Father, that you will use these times that we can meet together using the technology that we have to be an encouragement to your people, to help build us up, help keep us connected, help us stay close to you, Father, and growing. Father, I pray that during this time that we cannot be physically present, that your Holy Spirit is working in people's lives in a mighty way. I pray, Father, that people are learning to lean more closely, more directly on you and the Lord Jesus. In the absence of having Dan and me and other believers in close proximity, being able to meet together, Father, may this draw us closer to you. May this be a time of strengthening your church and strengthening specifically Fellowship Bible Church. May it be a time of growth, not a time of retreat, not a time of falling away, but a time of being more deliberate, being more intentional about our walks with you. I pray, Father, that we are spending time with you daily in your word, that we are just seeking your face, seeking to draw near. I pray, Father, that you'll use our time together now in your word to encourage us in that, that we might be growing in our walk with you, that we would seek to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, even in the limited contact that we're allowed to have. Father, there's no limitation in our contact with you and the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your promises. We are very grateful for them. Jesus said in the conclusion of the Great Commission, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We claim that promise, Father, and we rest in it. We take comfort in it. We thank you for it. Minister to us now through your word. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. We've been going through the book of Colossians, and we're looking at the book of Colossians, where the theme in Colossians 1:10 is so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. Well, follow along with me. Let me read our passage for you again. Follow along as I read Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. We've been talking about the practical portion of the book of Colossians, practical principles for walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. We've been talking about the practical principles, chapter 3, verses 1 through chapter 4, verse 6. First principle is that we should have heavenly perspective. Secondly, there should be holy practice. Thirdly, we should have healthy relationships. Fourth, there should be heavenly homes. There should be high-minded workplaces. Well, maybe you're not able to go to your workplace these days, but that should be the goal. Many of you working at home, many of you on furlough, some of you still working in the trenches, hospitals, nursing homes, essential businesses. We are praying for you, for God's protection for you. And then finally, the passage we're looking at now, devoted to prayer. Being devoted to prayer. So we saw last week that the command to be devoted to prayer is given to us in chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. So we saw the command given, the command expressed. Then we spent some time last week looking at where this command is exemplified elsewhere. We looked in Acts chapter 1. We looked at Acts chapter 2. We looked at Acts chapter 6. The apostles said that they were not going to be distracted, that they were going to devote themselves to prayer and the study of the Word. And I believe that's a good practice for church leaders. It's good practice for everybody to be devoted to that. We even talked about Samuel when the nation of Israel rejected him and said, "Give us a king." And Samuel said, "Far be it from me that I should sin against God in failing to pray for you." We talked about that, how it's expressed, exemplified elsewhere. And then we want to pick up today then explaining this a little bit. Why is prayer so important? Of all of the things that we could be devoted to, why would Paul say be devoted to prayer? The only place in this book of Colossians that he talks about being devoted to something, why the emphasis on prayer? And I'd like you to ask you to turn with me to James chapter 4. I think James will give us a little bit of insight into this. James chapter 4. Why is prayer so important? Well, these aren't going to be on the projector, but you'll have to write them down or jot them down in your notes. Or the advantage that you have right now is if you get behind, you can pause the video and catch up in your notes. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. James wrote, "Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Draw near to God. When we draw near to God in prayer, He will draw near to us. Now understand that to some extent there's an emotional feeling. There's an emotional sense of God's presence, God's nearness when we pray. But I believe it's more than just an emotion. I believe it's actual. I believe it's practical. When we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. I realize God's omnipresent. He's everywhere. You know, you can't go anywhere and be away from God. Jonah tried that and found out it didn't work. But there's a sense in which I believe God manifests His presence in our lives in a special way when we pray. When we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. So prayer is important because in prayer especially, we focus on drawing near to God. We focus our mind, our thoughts, our heart on God and Himself. Furthermore, I believe prayer keeps us humble. Verse 6, James 4:6. But He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. In prayer, we humble ourselves to God because we're recognizing that God is greater than we are. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, James 1:18. God is the one who needs to take care of us. God is the one who provides our needs. God is the one who is going to solve our problems ultimately. We humble ourselves before God. God resists the proud. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You want God's grace in your life? Humble yourselves before God. And I believe one of the most telling, most powerful ways we humble ourselves before God is by going to him in prayer. So we humble ourselves before God. We draw near to God. Go back to chapter James 4:1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. And look at the end of verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask. Why is prayer important? Well, in prayer we get our needs met. In prayer we get our requests answered. You do not have because you do not ask. I wonder sometimes if God would just love to give us more than he does. And he doesn't because we don't ask him for it. Prayer is important because we get our needs met. And so in prayer we honor God. We honor God by praying him and asking him for what we need. He has invited us to draw near to God. We honor him when we do that. Jesus taught the disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Do you recognize your daily dependence on God? It's not King Supers, and it's not Safeway, and it's not Sprouts, and you know other stores that provide our food. They're just the vehicles. They're just the middlemen. God is the one who ultimately provides our needs. So we honor him. And then, we won't take time to turn there, but I believe that in prayer, we come to see God's perspective. We come to see God's perspective in prayer. I would suggest you take some time to read Psalm 73. Asaph there is struggling with, why are the wicked getting away with murder? Why are the wicked prospering and the righteous people are struggling? Why is that? And he says, until I went into the sanctuary, then I perceived their end. He got his perspective changed. How? I believe through prayer. By going to God, by beginning to think God's thoughts, by taking his troubles and needs to God, he began to see God's perspective. You see God's perspective in this coronavirus pandemic? We could say, oh, it's terrible because churches can't meet. This is awful. It's terrible. And I would say, really? I believe that God wants to use this time that churches can't meet publicly. I believe that God wants to use this time to strengthen homes, to strengthen families, to strengthen individuals' walk with him, their dependence on him. I'm afraid it's awfully easy that you can become dependent upon Dan and me and other teachers in the church for your spiritual feeding. When that's not possible, when that's not available, at least not as readily, maybe this is forcing many of us to draw near to God in a way that we haven't done for a long time. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. So why is being devoted to prayer especially important now? Well, some of us have more time than we did. Some of us are working from home. Some of us are on furlough. Some of us have more time. Be devoted to prayer. Use that time positively, constructively. The danger is you'll just binge watch TV, and that's easy to do. I understand. You turn it on, and then, you know, program after program after program, and you realize you've wasted a whole day. Maybe also it's important for us to be devoted to prayer because this is making us more aware of our need for God. Our need for God. So Paul's command, Paul's instruction, be devoted to prayer. We saw it expressed, we saw it exemplified elsewhere, and now we, have explained it a little bit from James chapter 4 and other passages. That's the command, be devoted to prayer. The second thing I see in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, is that there is a condition. There's a condition. And the condition is, first of all, again, expressed. And it's the condition that's expressed is keeping alert in it. Keeping alert in it. We're translated keeping alert is from the Greek word that we get our English name Gregory from. It's the idea of keeping watch, being awake and alert, being prepared. And it's a present participle. That means it's a continuous, should be a continuous action. Keeping constantly alert. Keeping constantly alert. And again, after the command is expressed, let's look at some other places where this concept of being alert is mentioned. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, Paul is on his third missionary journey. He's on the return leg of that journey. He's headed to Rome, and that stay in Rome is going to Jerusalem, and that stay in Jerusalem is going to result in him being arrested. But in Acts chapter 20, Paul is giving instructions to the elders of the church at Ephesus. It begins in verse 17, and some of the key verses that we want to look at, starting in verse 28. Acts 20:28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. There's our word. Paul instructing the elders of the church at Ephesus to be on the alert for false teachers, both from outside of the church and from within the church. Be on the alert. Be watchful. Be on guard. We have that kind of alertness, that kind of watchfulness in our prayer life. Are we devoted to prayer, staying alert in it, keeping alert? You don't need to stop there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, as Paul is concluding his instructions to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. One of Paul's closing instructions to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16 is be on the alert. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul starts out this chapter, now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need for anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. I believe that day of the Lord begins in the tribulation period and goes on into the millennium. But the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. So what should our response be? Verse 4, you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you like a thief. For you're all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. There's a fundamental distinction, a fundamental difference between us as Christians and the rest of the world. The rest of the world is not only in darkness, they are darkness. Ephesians 5:8. We are light in the Lord. Paul emphasizes that here as well. Verse 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Let us be alert and sober. Are you being watchful? Are you watching the times and the seasons? Are you watching the things that are happening in our world today? Paul is encouraging these people to be on the alert because the day of the Lord is coming, and that it starts and begins with the tribulation period. Have you read the book of Revelation recently? Have you compared things that the book of Revelation talks about during the tribulation period with things that we are beginning to see happening in our world today? Beloved, those things ought to stir us up to alertness, to a wakefulness. How does John close the book of Revelation? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Notice that he closes it with prayer. He closes it with prayer. First Peter chapter 5, as Peter is closing out his warnings to the believers that he is writing to, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in the faith." Be on the alert. Be watchful. Be awake. Be awake. Are you alert spiritually? Are you watching the things that are happening in our world? Paul said, be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it. I believe that the things that we see going on in the world today should drive us to prayer. We should say, wow, I can't believe that's happening. I better pray. Instead, too many times I think we should say, oh, I can't believe that's happening. I need to post something on Facebook. What good does that do, beloved? Take your problems to the Lord. Take your needs to the Lord. Take your concerns to the Lord. Be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it. Keeping alert. Now, maybe Paul had the same kind of problem that I have, and maybe you have the same kind of problem that I have. I start praying, and either my mind starts to wander, and, you know, 5 minutes into my prayer, I realize I'm thinking about something totally unrelated. My mind went down a different path, and I've got to stop myself and say, wait a minute, that's not praying to God. That's just worrying. That's just anxiety. That's just planning for the future. I need to get back and spend time with God. Maybe you have trouble like that too. Either my mind wanders, or I confess there have been times I just drift off to sleep. And I'll wake up in the morning and think, I think I was praying last night, but I don't remember ending my prayer. Probably just fell asleep. Maybe you have that same kind of problem too. Be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it. It requires a mindfulness. It requires a deliberation. So, we have this condition to be alert. We see it expressed. We saw it exemplified elsewhere in Acts chapter 28, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Why is it so important? Maybe we ought to think about how you do it. How do you keep alert in prayer? Well, let me suggest you don't wait till bedtime. Don't wait till bedtime when you're sleepy and you crawl into bed and say, okay, I'm going to spend some time in prayer. Never do that. Keeping alert. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We looked at chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is 5 again. Start with me, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing. Be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it. You're driving down the highway and some idiot cuts you off on the highway. What do you do? Well, you could yell and scream. You could rave and rant about what an idiot he is and he's going to get somebody killed. How about stopping and praying that he gets where he's going without getting killed himself and without killing anybody else? How about using frustrations in our life as occasions and motivation to prayer, as subjects, as content for prayer? Wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't that be wiser? Don't wait till bedtime. Don't wait until you're sleepy and groggy. If it helps you, stand up and walk around. There are times when I'm here at the church by myself, and instead of sitting at my desk and praying, I'll get up and I'll walk laps around the auditorium here. Nobody else here, just me, and I'll stop and think, okay, who usually sits in this pew, and I pray for you? Who usually sits in that pew over there, and I pray for you? But getting up and walking around sometimes helps me. People sometimes will suggest doing a prayer walk around your neighborhood. Just go walk around your neighborhood, and as you stop in front of each of your neighbor's houses, just stop for a second and say a prayer for them. Maybe you're thinking, I don't have any idea what they need prayer for. Great. That'd be a great opportunity for you to get to know your neighbors better. Get to know your neighbors better. How can you pray better? How can you pray and be alert and stay alert? Well, again, have a list. Here's a church directory. I suggested last week, take one page a day and pray through the people on that page. I suggested again this handout that I had back on the literature table. I can pray every day. You make up your own list. Go through the church directory and just lay it out so that you pray for, you know, five or six of the people or families in our church every day. And again, if you don't know what to pray for them for, call them up and ask them. Again, many of you receive the Wednesday evening prayer list that I send out. I send it out by email. You can get it. If you're not getting it and would like to, just send me an email. I'll be happy to add you to that list. Have a list. And you know the other benefit of having a list is when God answers that prayer, you remember, hey, I prayed for that. You can check it off, and that can be a motivation to cause you to give thanks to God. And that actually leads directly into our next point. Be devoted to prayer. The companion, go back to Colossians 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, that's the command. Keeping alert in it, that's the condition. With an attitude of thanksgiving, that's the companion. That's the companion. So we see this expressed. Now we're going to follow the same outline, the same 3 points for each of these 3 points in this passage. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving. With an attitude of thanksgiving. So that's expressed. Think about how often Paul has mentioned thanksgiving in this book of Colossians. Go back with me to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. Paul gives himself as an example of thanksgiving. Chapter 1, verse 3. We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Can we say that? Do we give thanks to the Father that we're praying always for one another? Praying always. Since we heard of your faith. So every time Paul heard a report about the Colossian believers, that motivated him to prayer and to give thanks for them. Chapter 1, verse 12. Start with me in verse 11. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We're qualified to share in the inheritance, beloved. Giving thanks to God for your salvation. What a blessing that is. What undeserved favor. That's grace. What an undeserved favor our salvation is. And it should drive us to thanksgiving constantly. Chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing with gratitude. Paul is bringing up the superior statements here. He's emphasizing, be devoted to prayer. Be overflowing with thanksgiving. These things shouldn't just be in our lives a little bit. They should be abundant. They should be overflowing in our lives. Chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful for our calling into one body, the body of Christ. Be thankful for the unity and the love and joy that we have with one another. Be thankful for one another. Be thankful to God because He's the one who called us in one body. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Singing with thankfulness. We've been trying to send you some worship songs. I appreciate Trevor and his family and Rayanne for the work that they've been doing to make those available. Singing with thankfulness. When we sing songs about our salvation, when we sing songs about the provision of God for us, His abundance, it should drive us to be grateful to Him. Be thankful. Verse 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Whatever you do, giving thanks to Him. Giving thanks to Him. In chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. We already looked at 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In everything? Wait, you mean in the coronavirus pandemic, give thanks? Absolutely. Say, well, I can't think of anything to give thanks about. Well, you're not thinking hard enough. Give thanks to God that He's going to be working in your life, even though you can't physically attend church. Give thanks to God that we have His Word available to us. We can study His Word. We give thanks to God for the technology that we have available to be able to connect, even though we're physically distancing. But we don't have to social distance. Giving thanks to God. Devote yourselves to prayer. Command. Keeping alert in it. The condition. With thanksgiving. The companion. Why is thanksgiving so important? Thanksgiving reminds us of God's past answers to prayer. Because if God has been faithful in the past, maybe, just maybe, we can count on Him to be faithful in the present. Thanksgiving reminds us of God's past answers to prayer, which will help us to be devoted to prayer. If we've seen in the past that God has answered prayer, and how many healings have we seen? How many people who were counted on their deathbed that God has raised up in answer to prayer? How many times have we seen God respond in answer to prayer? That should cause us to be all the more devoted to prayer now, because we've seen Him work in the past. I don't want to say prayer works. God works. But by prayer, we lay hold of God's power. By prayer, we lay hold of God's power. Thanksgiving keeps us focused on the fact that it's God who supplies our needs. It's God who answers prayer. It's God who is providing for us. Thanksgiving keeps us aware of our dependency upon God. I'm going to turn there. You can try to follow me if you want. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Moses is speaking in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and he's near the end of his life. The nation of Israel has been wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, and they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River and go in and conquer the land and claim it that God promised them. And Moses is telling them a little bit about what that's going to look like. Start with me in verse 10. If you're just following along, listen. Deuteronomy 8:10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless Yahweh your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware that you do not forget Yahweh your God by not keeping His commandments and His ordinances and His statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget Yahweh your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness He fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, that He might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember Yahweh your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to our fathers, as it is this day. Thanksgiving reminds us of the great provisions of God, the blessings of God, the health that we have, the country that we live in, the jobs that we have to work, the provision God makes for us, our family, our church, all of these blessings come from God. How can we not be thankful to Him for them? He is so good to us. Thanksgiving honors God by reminding us of His provision. Paul says, pray without ceasing, keeping alert in it. Be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. There's the command, be devoted to prayer. There's the condition, keeping alert in it. And there's the companion, giving thanks. I believe thanksgiving ought to be a part of every prayer that we pray. That we remind ourselves of the past provisions of God, His goodness to us that is continual. I believe thanksgiving ought to be a part of every prayer. So if we're devoted to prayer, we should be devoted to thanksgiving. The two should go hand in hand. Be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. Beloved, during this time of major upheaval in our lives because of the restrictions, because of the coronavirus pandemic, this would be a great time to rededicate our lives to a ministry of prayer. It will honor God. We will see answers to prayer. We will see blessings. And that will prompt more thanksgiving. In all of this, God will be honored. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this instruction and warning and command from the Apostle Paul. May we take it seriously, his warning, his command to be devoted to prayer. Of all of the things that we could devote our lives to, Father, this is certainly one of the very most important. That we would devote our lives to praying for one another, praying for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for people to come to know Christ as Savior, praying for our church, praying for our governmental leaders, praying for our officials, praying for our families, praying for our neighbors. Father, the list is endless of people and situations and circumstances that we need to be praying for, keeping watch with thanksgiving. Father, may we have a balanced prayer life, not just a list, a Christmas shopping list of gimme, 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 but may be a balanced prayer life of worship and praise and adoration and confession of sin and giving You thanks. Thank You, Father, for Your unspeakable gift. We praise You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. May God's grace be with you.